Blog Talk Radio.
Like that we stole his song and we've made and we've changed it.
Good morning.
Good morning, Miss Corey. How are you?
I'm wishing I lived up like in Alaska or something today. This weather is killing me.
It is a little chilly here where I'm at, actually.
It's hot and humid and angry. My allergies are revolting.
I wish, but it's cold. It is cold in the south today. I am freezing. I've got shoes on, and my feet are like, oh, so cold.
Ooh. I miss y'all when we're not here.
I know. I miss you, too.
I was talking about our audience, but I miss you, too, Ginger. I talked to you most of the day.
Yeah, but you know, they stalk us. They stalk us. They're always around somewhere. But I love our stalkers, each and every one of you.
Let's not call them stalkers. Let's call them fans.
Okay. Fans. Today, y'all are fans.
Fanatical fans. Let's call them that. I think they like it better.
Yes. Fanatical fans. And some of y'all, I don't know how y'all are doing it, but y'all are finding me in places that...
Well, you told them to find you, so...
Well, yeah, I just didn't expect them to find me there, but hey.
Well, so you thought I was playing when I told them. Yeah, they will find you. They love us.
Yeah, they will. That is fine. Hey, Jay, are you here today? Because I noticed you weren't here yesterday, so I bounced my boobs for nothing.
Well, there were other people listening that were enjoying the bouncing boobage. So
that is very, very, very true.
See, Jay, you didn't even want to play GTA with me this weekend, so...
You didn't want to play GTA?
I have no idea if you did or not. I sat down and I fell asleep, and that's the way it was most of the weekend because it was rainy and cold. You can't like just have rain around me and not expect me to go to sleep. It's like, Valium, nature's Valium. I sit down, it's over, and I can sleep like for 2 days straight. Oh, love some rain, and it's cold too. Oh man, I had the fuzzy socks and the blankets.
Oh, that is so nice. That is so nice.
And some things I'm not supposed to be eating. It was
good. Ooh, that is...
It was tasty. I'm going to be on in there. No.
I know. I went home for the weekend Saturday, and they sent me back with candy. They know I don't keep candy in this house. Well, they sent me back with candy.
You know what you do with it?
Throw it in the trash.
No, here, what? Wait. Well, let's jump into our news. Guess what, guys? A whole hour again today. Are you all ready?
A whole hour. I am so ready.
Well, I got two news stories, and now the first one that's going to make Ginger scream that I just talked about on Twitter, I'm not going to do that one first because this first one is short. This was sent over to us by Miss Jackie. Let me see. I'm going to give you her Twitter name so y'all can harass her, too, if I can find her, because I don't like this new Twitter. It makes it too difficult for me to find my peoples.
Ooh.
I don't like it. It's so crazy. Her name is Jackie. I just tweeted her like 2 seconds ago, but this new Twitter makes it difficult to find her. But in any case, she's the one who sent us. Well, she didn't send it to us. She posted it. She thought it was a good start, so I'll tweet it, and then I will make sure I give you credit. So thanks, Jackie, for sending this in. But apparently, Nintendo is batting one out of the park. If you bought virtual games from them and you're concerned about when you do your upgrade, or even your Wii just died, your current Wii died, they'll replace it for you, they're saying.
Really?
Yes, but they do need your serial number from your original console. And they said if you can't find it on your console, you can look in your Club Nintendo product registration, and they should take care of you. That's nice. That's good service right there.
That is awesome service. Brand new Wii, if yours is broken... Is there any kind of clause? Any kind of...
Well, I don't know about them replacing the Wii, but I have heard that they do. I have known people where they've replaced a Wii that's broke. But it's very rare that you have a broken Wii. You
can't, yeah, that's true.
It's very, very rare. But I have heard that they do replace them, and probably the reason that they... Because they're not money replacing them. They're not breaking in droves, trust me. Again, we talk about Nintendo's indestructibility quite often.
Yes, yes, we do.
Mm-hmm.
I love my Nintendo, man. That thing, I have knocked that thing over. It is, it's gotten hot in the Texas heat. It's, yeah.
They made good stuff, Nintendo. Really good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this is the one that's going to make Ginger scream. I must clear my throat before I read this. Funcom has today announced that the highly anticipated MMO, The Secret World, will launch June 19th.
Wow, June 19th, that is so soon. I can't wait.
She didn't scream. She didn't scream. I did all that.
No.
Boo, Ginger.
June 19th, that's so far away, but...
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, what they're saying is they got some really great feedback from hands-on events and beta. Very positive. Did we get invited to beta? Uh-uh.
No, we did not. I know.
I have to shoot an email over. Look here. Wait a minute. I'm looking for his name. I'm not going to say your name on the air. I'm going to need you to send. Mm-mm, that's not cute. Anyway, they said they got a whole lot of positive feedback and it's showing that the game's core features, such as the role-playing systems, combat, missions, dungeons, story, and immersion, among the beta testers surveyed, 9 out of 10 and said they will be playing at launch. More than 750,000 of you right now are registered as beta testers, which is significantly higher than Age of Conan at the same stage of development. So Funcom is expecting the number of beta registrations to grow significantly in the coming months.
There is a reason for that. That game was kind of meh.
It was too hard. We all talk about, what was that one guard you couldn't kill? And you were like level 3. You should be able to take down pretty much anything without dying. It was, there was something, somebody on an island that was just kicking all kinds of my butt. I mean, ugh.
Yeah.
I wasn't happy. But anyway, so they're saying in the next coming months they're going to be ramping up the PR as they get closer to launch. And, of course, they're getting more polish. Yay, yay, yay. And they've committed to making Secret World the best it could be. They're saying it's been consistently mentioned, and also here as well, among some of the other mainstream publications, as the most anticipated MMO in development. It's even been in Forbes, The Guardian, G4TV. Mm. Our friends over at Rock Paper Shotgun, a Video Gamer, AdventureBeat, our friends over there, MMORPG.com, who Blaster has a man crush on one of the guys over there. Oh, wow. So they're getting a lot of Reader's Choice Awards, everything. It is being published by the devil. So
It is yeah. by the devil. Yeah, so that's kind of one of those.
Mm. Yeah, they better bring it, or you know what's going to happen to it. It's going to wind up over at Gamerscape, which is not a bad beta Gamerscape at all. So wait a minute. Oh, we are now. See, we're about to have a problem. I'm going to save this for after the show. We'll talk about this after, Ginger. We got to talk to the Funcom people. We got to talk to the Funcom people.
Mm-hmm.
You're not showing us the love. Show us the love.
I know. Come on, man. We give you the fluffy cakes. We're here every day. We're always bragging about you. And then you totally leave us out.
We've been together since day one, since you guys were new, we were new. I know what it is that I got to, yeah. I'm going to be quiet. I'm in one of those moods today. Chew my gum. All business.
Well, I've still got more fights. It's not over yet, people, and it's not going to be over for a while, it seems. GamePolitics.com this morning, because you know I love them. The Pirate Bay faces ISP level blocking in the UK.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's funny.
All right, so non-recording labels, EMI, Polydor, Sony, Virgin, Warner, and more asked the UK High Court to block the Pirate Bay, claiming that it infringes on their copyrights and that several ISPs, BSkyB, BT, TalkTalk, Telefonica, and Virgin Media need to implement a block on the site under Section 97A of the Copyright Designs and Patents Act. Section 97A gives UK courts the power to order an injunction against an ISP, which compels them to block a site as directed by the court. Those that seek the block have to prove that the site's operators had knowledge that its services were being used to infringe copyright. Today's High Court Justice Arnold sided with the recording industry. Imagine that. How well were your pockets lined, Mr. Justice Arnold? Saying that the site has the power to stop the activity, but chooses not to. Justice Arnold drew parallels with the News Bin 2 case, but said that case against the Pirate Bay and its users was a lot stronger. Justice Arnold says, as a matter of policy, however, the rights of copyright owners are excluded from the criteria by which the operators of TPB choose to exercise this power. Indeed, according to a statement on the website, the reason for its recent adoption of magnet links as the default option is that it's not as easy to block as .torrent files. This confirms the operator's determination to do whatever they can to provide users with unrestricted access to torrent files and thereby enable the users to continue to infringe. All right, people, really?
What are they going after CNET is my question. That's all I want to know.
But they're not going to because they own it. Of course they're not. And this kind of ties in with the story. There was a link this morning. I was trying to find the full story, but they're trying to charge me for it. And I'm like, I don't think so. a website talking about, it's all propaganda, more or less. But anyway, saying that Anonymous plans to take down the power grids of several nations, whatnot. And Anonymous has commented on this on Twitter and said, yeah, we don't think so. A, that would leave us without power. And B, there are people who need this power, life support, and what else not? Why would we take this down?
And this, people, again, is why we point out, we need a large media conglomerate that gives the gamers and us geeks a voice. Because
yes.
That would be, arguably, we find some of the things that Anonymous does annoying or idiotic. But that would be murder.
It would. It would. And they are not murderers. They may be trolls. They may be hackers. They may be thieves and whatever else you want to call them. Robin Hood for some of you. But they're not. They're geeks. They're essentially geeks, just like us. They can't do these attacks without electricity. So, no to the taking down the power grid. Sorry. Now, if that were to happen, I'm only going to call it a conspiracy. And say that we did it to ourselves.
That would not be at all surprising. Mm-mm. I'm a conspiracy theorist. I do believe.
Yes.
Anyway, we talk about that stuff off the air. We save it for off the air commentary. Because we go way out there. What was it this week? We were discussing. Yeah, we were way. I was way out there. I scared some of y'all. Anyway, how many of you out there love you some Young Justice? No,
what I saw this morning.
Not young girls beating hell out of old men just because they deserve it. It's a show.
In the hospital the other day. Oh, he was sitting there grinning at me. I was like, oh no, you're not.
I like when they grin. Give them a wink. They can't really do much. But anyway, Young Justice Legacy, the video game, is set to ship early next year for PlayStation 3, the Xbox 360, and Nintendo's Wii system. Nintendo probably means we're not going to get a new console from Sony and Xbox like we keep thinking. Or maybe we will. Maybe it'll be out next year late. Who knows? But new episodes of the Warner Brothers animation series Young Justice will air beginning Saturday, March 3rd at 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time and Pacific Time on Cartoon Network. As part of DC Nation, the network's brand new one-hour block of exclusive kids television programming and shorts based on DC Comics characters. In Young Justice, teenage heroes Robin, Aqualad, Kid Flash, Superboy, Miss Martian, and Artemis are tasked by the Justice League to act as their covert operations team. Cute, right?
Totally.
Armed with superior skills, weaponry, and powers, the team must do battle against a wide array of villains from the DC universe while trying to prove themselves and to their superhero mentors, and that they, too, have what it takes to be a hero. Their journey is further complicated when they face the many unpredictable obstacles that arise in their past comics experience and youth. In Young Justice Legacy, fans can look forward to an original storyline set in between seasons 1 and 2 of the animated television series and written in collaboration with show writers Greg Wiseman and Brandon Vietti. The game is packed with fan-favorite playable characters, cameo appearances by popular Justice League heroes and villains, and includes, get this, online multiplayer as well as local multiplayer modes for the little tykes. Gonna be nice. Gotta watch them though, guys. Do we need to tell you again? The TV series is a fantastic combination of compelling writing, witty humor, iconic art, and exciting action sequences. The creators have done an amazing job blending over 180 DC Comics characters into their show filtered through a new youthful perspective, said Matt Scott, who is the CEO of Little Orbit, who's making the game. Knowing them for a while, too. The new video game contains a slew of cool features and large playable cast of familiar heroes.
But our mission is to create a unique experience that fits seamlessly into the world of the show and offers a new way to interact with these popular DC Comics characters. You can check them out at their official website or at ours, GameAndHX.com. Go to YoungJusticeLegacy.com if you'd like to. They also have a Facebook page. I don't see a Twitter, but I'm pretty sure they'll grab one pretty soon.
Yeah, I think everybody has a Twitter just about.
Okay, you just reminded me of something.
Mm-hmm.
Walgreens, why do you have a Twitter and a Facebook page?
I can see maybe the Twitter page, but not the Facebook.
I don't see why they have either.
No, wrong? I mean, I guess the Twitter, you know, if you're going to announce sales, ads, that kind of thing that's going on.
Yeah, but Twitter's not really set up to do that regionally. You know how?
Yeah, that's true. That is very true.
And Google has their, you know, their ads where you can advertise in one area. Facebook as well. But they're not actually using the Facebook for ads. They're actually on Facebook page. And there's nothing going on with Walgreens where I need to be following them on Facebook or Twitter. Like, ooh, Walgreens is blah, blah, blah. Why?
I mean, if they were giving some kind of, like, discounts or, you know, watch our Twitter and we'll randomly be giving out, discounts, free prescriptions, something, you know?
It's become
that would be something I would watch.
Yeah. Some of you are just like, you think it's the end thing to do and you just grab it, but there's no point. There's no reason I can think of to have a Facebook and a Twitter page. Well, and then the reverse is true. Some people who actually need one don't see the importance of them having one.
This is true. And for you people, y'all annoy me. Get a Twitter or a Facebook. You make it so much easier for me to track you.
And again, do I need to talk to these casino people again? Stop sending us this stuff.
Yes. I'm not talking about your whatever game, especially because you only give me a paragraph.
Then it's not wrong gaming industry. Please stop.
Yes.
Ginger, what you got this morning?
What have I got this morning? I have got a birthday party is exactly what I've got. Pocky Ninja preparing for birthday celebrations. Party hats at the ready. This year's most popular browser game, as voted by a website I'm not going to name, is about to turn one. Naruto and Bleach-inspired MMO brawler Pocky Ninja is celebrating its first birthday throughout March and April. Publisher InGame, yes, have revealed some anniversary events to celebrate an amazing first year. And these people are crazy. I always love their...
Mr. President!
Oh, that was the wrong birthday song. Never mind. Wait, I got two of them. Wait, let me do this one.
Okay.
We sing happy birthday to you, and may all your dreams come true.
Happy, happy birthday.
Oh.
Can't have a birthday song. Birthday Pocky Ninja. We love us some Pocky Ninja. Sorry, they had it coming.
They have the best press releases.
Okay, tell us, because I love it.
So, originally announced as the secretive Project Ninja at the start of 2011, Pocky Ninja quickly became one of the fastest-growing MMOs online today. Over the last 12 months, which we have seen some hilarious stuff come out through them, the browser-based MMORPG has won multiple awards, released several free updates, and has amassed an incredible 11 million registered users. Do we have an account with them? We need an account with them.
I don't think we need... Well, we might have one. Girl, we have...
Yeah, right? All right, so today, celebrations. From early March onwards, Pocky Ninja players will be able to interact with a huge range of special anniversary events. Wishing Wall will be introduced in-game to allow players to tell in-game everything they would like to see in future Pocky Ninja updates. A wall will also be used as a place to post precious playing memories from the past year, creating a past and future wall for everybody to admire. Ninjas who post on the wall will be eligible to receive fantastic in-game gifts, and everybody is encouraged to get involved. The more the number of wishes, the better the gift players will receive. All right, they also give us new outfits and challenges. A variety of challenges will be thrown at players during the anniversary celebrations with rewards on offers for defeating demon bosses, winning a set of number of times in the arena, and more. All right, so there's that. We've got one of the most powerful antagonist outfit available, Hollowside Aizen. And then the second outfit is from Kuzina Uzumaki, mother of the infamous Naruto Uzumaki. Okay, and then there's also a video contest. Pocky Ninja players will be able to win real-life gifts. Oh, I like real-life gifts. By unleashing their creative side and making videos inspired by the game. Players will be allowed to vote for each other's videos, and the creators can post their videos on Facebook and Twitter to earn more votes and increase their chance of winning. The 10 best entries will be chosen to win gifts after the event, and the top two winners receive mystery real-world gifts. Ooh. All right, so there's a trailer and everything, and there's, I think, some screenshots maybe even, over at GameAndMatrix.com this morning. Head over there and check this out. This game sounds hilarious.
Mm. Well, apparently EA UK thought this was very important, these next story and my next two stories, but I'm not going to do them together because, you know, I need to clear my throat. But
when did they think it was?
They thought it was so important that they sent it to us four times.
Wow. So trying to make sure we get it on air, people?
This is important. The people, you know what? I do love the UK, EA UK.
We do.
We do love you. You're a lovely bunch of people. We never met any of you.
Your EA US counterparts, not so much.
Yeah, you need to switch with them. We need to get them out of here. But rest of you stay. But in any case, EA, put my gum someplace safe. Okay, EA, EA UK, just EA in general, and Starbreeze Studios, who made The Chronicles of Riddick and The Darkness, have announced that Syndicate, that game, is now available at retail stores across North America. It's a reimagining of EA's cult classic from way back in 1993, which blends fast-paced action and futuristic settings with an innovative chip breach gameplay mechanic to provide a brutal sci-fi first-person shooter experience. With the advanced DART 6 biochip technology implanted in their head, gamers can dilate time through walls to breach the digital world and enemies around them. Critics are recognizing the advantages of this unique hacking mechanic, touting that there's some sick satisfaction to be had with the game's breach abilities. They also are praising it for its addictive hacking gameplay. It's set in 2069. Syndicate takes players into a dark Machiavellian world where corporations are vying for the market dominance. With no government to question their intentions or actions, megacorporations are at the forefront of this war. Stepping into the mind of Miles Kilo, Eurocorp's latest prototype agent, gamers can embark on a brutal action adventure full of corruption and revenge. Well, I'm having some issues. Syndicate features the talents of celebrated actors Rosario Dawson, if you're not familiar with her. She's from Sin City and Men in Black 2. You know, the good-looking chick? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Death Proof, which is one of my favorite movies. And Brian Cox, whom I also adore, from The Bourne Identity. He's, one of the bad guys. They take on the roles of cutthroat executives working for the and most aggressive syndicate. The engaging storyline was penned by award-winning sci-fi writer Richard Morgan, who wrote Altered Carbon and 13, who has also brought these deeply conflicted characters to life in an unforgiving world where violence, corruption, technology, and betrayal have become the everyday tools of the business. In addition to the intense single-player campaign, Syndicate features a four-player co-op mode where players play as an upstart syndicate, Wolf Western aggressively taking over the rival syndicates. I went ahead and just added my own plural version. Did you hear that? Throughout the co-op campaign, players will be fighting their way through 9 different missions, many of which have been reimagined from the original hit game. Gamers need to team up to defeat other syndicate bosses, ripping the biochips from their heads and stealing their technology blueprints to put their syndicate on top. I like this.
That sounds vicious.
It does, and I love it. Oh, God. This was developed by Starbreeze Studios. Syndicate is now again available in North America and will be available February 24th in Europe for the PlayStation 3 and Xbox Entertainment System and for the PC, for those of you who are PC gamers. If you'd like more information, pop by our site and check GameAndMatrix.com out. If you can't find it, you just put a little search box on the top right, Syndicate, and it'll pull up everything that has to do with it. They also have their own site, syndicate.ea.com, and they also have a Facebook. And they're saying if you go over to the Facebook, you can download some exclusively remixed tracks of the original Syndicate theme song from some of the world's top DJs, and I think I told you about these guys before, including Skillrex, Digitalism, Flux Pavilion, and Nero. Got the names right this time. And as if we needed to tell you, in case you didn't know, you must have an internet connection and an Origin account to play. You also must be 13 years of age and older to create an Origin account. I do believe this game is rated M, so it doesn't matter if you are 15. You can make an account that is not saying you can play unless your mommy and daddy let you. Okay? Okay. This does look... Ginger, are you looking at the game?
No. Well, yes and no. I was trying to... I was arguing with David.
You know what I'm hearing? You guys know this breathing thing that we do as gamers when we're looking at something. listen to somebody breathe that's watching pornography. I know this is really weird. It's completely weird. You're like, no. Gamers do the same thing when we're looking at something game related and it's good. It's like, oh yeah,
I know, it's
so good. Okay, I'm out of order this morning. I'm sorry. Actually, I'm not sorry, but, you know, it's good to say so. You're arguing with David.
Yes, he's got a mug, and he won't share it with me.
Wait a minute. Is he talking to you and not me?
Yes.
Oh, you tell him it is over between us now. But I'll stick it up games.
He linked a gamer's coffee mug that I want, and he was like, mine. I was like, but weren't you ever taught to share? He's like, well, I can't share. I'm here in Phoenix. So it's like, road trip. So, yeah.
Tell him. Well, no, I'm going to tell him myself.
All right. So the fight continues. Apple continues fight against iPad trademark owner in China. And I'm going to kill the names here. So just bear with me. Zai Zhenghui, the lawyer representing Shenzhen ProView Technology in China, said that the Intermediate People's Court in Huzhou, a city in the southern China province of Guangdong, ruled on Friday that distributors should stop selling Apple's iPad devices in the region. The company is in a bitter dispute with Apple in China because it owns the rights to the iPad trademark there. Under Chinese law, the company has the power to stop imports and exports of the product. For its part, Apple claims that it paid a subsidiary of the company a large sum of money to use the rights in China, and that Shenzhen ProView Technology is not honoring its agreement with Apple. Some are saying that the company is using regional courts and governments to slow Apple sales in the country as a pretense to get a settlement from the company. Zhang Yuai said last week that they have not approached Apple about any kind of settlement. Apple, in a statement on Monday, said that in an appeal pending in Guangdong's high court against an earlier ruling in ProView's favor, it continues to insist that it has an agreement with a Taiwanese subsidiary of the company to use the iPad trademark in China. They say, we bought ProView's worldwide rights to the iPad trademark in 10 different countries several years ago. ProView refuses to honor their agreement with Apple in China, and the Hong Kong court has sided with Apple in this matter. All right, so this thing goes on and on and on. And one, you know, Apple saying, you know, they're just doing this so they can get more money. And the other company saying, no, this is ours.
Jay is listening this morning.
Get back to the U.S. and get it over with.
You know, I said Jay's listening. He says his breathing does not change at all, but his head does tilt to the right slowly. I don't want to ask any more questions. I don't want
to
know.
I go back and forth. I go to the right, and then I go to the left, and then I go just face palm, yeah.
When you're looking at gaming stuff?
Oh, I thought we were talking about porn.
No. Oh, man. What am I going to do? Let me just move along because I'm in a weird, shy, bless you place this morning. Okay, not my normal. yeah. I won't tell you
where. Cute.
I will tell you where off the air. And no, it's not someplace dirty. Those of you who are like, yeah, where? No.
Wait, hold on. Blushing where?
I'm not telling you where because then people will know where, you know, to see if they've made me blush. They'll know where to look. It is someplace not covered. People.
Interesting.
It's interesting. Anyway, Game over in the UK is thumbing their nose at Ubisoft. They're not going to sell any of Ubisoft's PlayStation Vita launch titles.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. They said no. GI.biz is
coughing. I'm all like, why not?
The news comes via GI.biz on the eve of the launch of the new console at the time when the French publisher is supporting Sony's new hardware with 5 titles on day one. Game is struggling with credit insurance and is expected to make an €18
18 million euros lost this financial year. It hopes to recover by capitalizing on launch new consoles, PS Vita, Nintendo's Wii U, but it is unlikely that to make most of these opportunities if it cannot sell the software for them. Why can I not talk today?
Every day. I don't know.
Every day. Ubisoft has so far declined to comment to GI.biz on why its titles will not go on sale through the only specialist store in the UK. Last week, Namco's Tekken 3D Prime Edition was not sold through Game, and it failed to enter the top 40 charts as well. All customers affected by this decision have been made aware of the situation and will continue to communicate any updates to customers through our Twitter and Facebook feeds, said Game in a statement to VG247 yesterday. Game has confirmed that titles from other publishers, including EA, Capcom, and Sega, will be on sale. The five Ubisoft titles that they're not carrying are big ones, Lumines, Michael Jackson, The Experience, Rayman Origins, which I hate, Asphalt Injection, and Dungeon Hunter Alliance, and can't stand Rayman Origins. that's a personal preference. There's nothing wrong with the game. It's a great game. That's just, like I told you guys,
She hates it. She's just so horribly against it.
Well, no, it was my very first job in the gaming industry was to promote Rayman, and I just got so sick of it. To be completely immersed in, for months, just I ate, slept, and breathed it. And I know you're like, what if you're working on a game? I wasn't working on it, you know, in the building it sense, but promoting it was just, it was too much my first time. I didn't care for it at first, and then after the 4 or 5 months, I really didn't like it. I was like, I don't want anything to do. What is he supposed to be? A chicken? What is it?
Poor Raymond. All right. I guess it's my turn. And
Wait. Jay says, getting into porn, same difference.
Yeah, I saw that.
Oh, he's trying to pit us against each other, and we don't do that. Sister mm-hmm. before mister, so you're getting cut.
Exactly.
Mr. Collins.
Mm-hmm.
Getting cut.
All right, what have I got? Plarium announces launch of Pirates, Tides of Fortune on Facebook. And I'm going to call it right now. There's going to be a lawsuit over this. If you see the logo, you will see why.
Oh, juicy. Tell us.
All right, so Plarium is launching its nautical-themed social game, Pirates, Tides of Fortune, on Facebook. Does that name sound familiar at all? This social strategy game has already become a number one hit in the Russian market with over 3 million monthly active users in just under 5 weeks. Pirates Tide of Fortune, the game takes the player along the path of inglorious pirates. You start as a prisoner washed up on the shore of a deserted island. You put together a crew that is made up of ruthless buccaneers and then assemble the streets of Tortuga to build a fleet. To do so, you must master skills of trade and diplomacy and discover new game-changing technologies as you try to bring entire colonies to kneel under your flag. Essentially, all players are in the same world and thus have access to all other... Oh, I'm going to sneeze.
Bless you.
Oh, my God. All right, so... Essentially, all players are in the same world and thus have access to all other players. They can choose to send their military to conquer millions of other players or assist their allies. Special artifacts can be recovered from battles. These items entitle their owner to military upgrades and can be traded as other players. With other players. Technology and resources can be traded as well. Players can invade other players' islands and plunder their resources. As players advance in the game, they can join together to form powerful clans and fight other communities for territory. All right, so, yes, head over to GameAndMatrix.com. Go check out this logo and everything, because this says Disney lawsuit all over it.
Several lawsuits, actually. Not just the logo, but the whole game sounds like Pirates by Sid Meier.
Yes, it does. That's going
to
happen.
Which is
as well.
One of my favoriteest games, and as several people have tried to duplicate it over the years. I mean, several people have tried, and they fail miserably. You can't. That's one. Even the remake of the original Pirates that Sid Meier himself tried to do was not as good as the original. Graphics and everything. I was like, this is not like my original, where I'm on the fight. I'm on my boat, and I have taken over a town, and they're trying to fight back, and I get them to surrender, and I take over the town. I pillage it. I take all the people and put them on my boat. They're now my soldiers. And next we go to the next town trying to catch up with the gold fleet. I love that. So, yeah, this is going to get another show. This sounds amazingly similar to that game. Do you see what I just ran off to you? Doesn't that sound like what you just described?
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, totally.
So, guys, I don't know. Well, Sid may let him slip by. He seems to be a quiet, shy, nice man. who knows?
I don't know about this.
All right. Well, ironically, last night I was watching a thing about Bill Gates and a geek who changed the world is what the title of it was, which originally aired in 2008. And Microsoft and Google have had a very tumultuous relationship, and it's just gotten worse. There's something new up this morning. They're leveraging an outcry over Google's approach to privacy to smear its rival in the press. I don't know why they're rivaling each other. I don't really understand this rivalry at all. But mm-hmm. I guess there's some, but I'm not really sure where. Google released a, wait a minute. No, I'm sorry. Microsoft released a blog post yesterday that claimed fresh findings about how Google circumvents privacy protections in Internet Explorer to place cookies that track users across the web. Good thing I don't use Internet Explorer. But Microsoft was playing dumb.
No, they would never.
According to GI.biz, Microsoft has known about this particular technique for 2 years and failed to mention it. And they failed to mention that many other major sites like Facebook, has the same thing, in which Microsoft is an investor. They use mm-hmm. the same technique to get around IE's default privacy settings. Mm-hmm, didn't know that, did you? Okay, here is the setup for Microsoft's blog post yesterday, which was written by Deem Hakimovich, a corporate vice president at Internet Explorer. And I may have said his name wrong, but he said, when the IE team heard that Google had bypassed user privacy settings on Safari, we asked ourselves a simple question. Is Google circumventing the privacy preferences of Internet Explorer users too? That's a question that Microsoft already knew the answer to. mm-hmm. A study published way back in 2010 showed that more than a third of sites visited by Internet Explorer have a technical error that allows cookies to be installed. Now, this study was big news, meriting a story in the New York Times. The trick that Google, Facebook, and many others are using to get around IE's privacy settings involves a web standard known as P3P. In their recent blog post, Microsoft said they would be calling on Google to honor this protocol, but Facebook has made it perfectly clear that P3P isn't some universally accepted technology. A blog post from technologist Nick Kirbilovic, lays out the specifics and... Wow, I won't tell you specifics. You can probably go pop over to their blog and read it. All of this is just a bunch of mudslinging, basically. You all knew about it. Google's doing it. You all stay out of my computer. That's why I don't use Internet Explorer. But I find it funny that I'm just not understanding their rivalry at all. Microsoft obviously makes operating systems. Google makes a browser. And I know that Microsoft wanted to back in the day. If you follow your geek history, Microsoft back in the day created Internet Explorer to, you know, compete with Google to get their money, get some mm-hmm. of their money. And it didn't go over well. It's still not going over well. And they're still trying to tangle with them. So I'm like, Microsoft, at some point, you need to put down your toys and say, you know what, we lost this battle. Let's go try something else.
Yes.
Because this business right here of you're making yourself look bad in the vein that you knew about this already. We're looking, going, if you knew about it, you should have said something in 2010 or 2009 or 2003. Whenever you knew, you should have said something. And the fact that you own stock in a company that also does the same thing, not looking good. You know, somebody, some kid in his garage right now is already creating the next operating system, and he's just waiting on you to screw up, and you're screwing.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Waiting on it. He's going to step right in, and he's going to be the next Bill Gates. Not that Bill Gates is worried because he'll never have to work again, but still.
Yes.
Listen, is Quagmire talking smack, Mike, today?
He is talking smack.
Yeah. Oh. Mm. You love this daytime. That's what you'd be glad about. It is daytime, and I can't say what I want to say.
Mm-hmm. All right. Here we go.
I'm taking your Xbox and your PlayStation, all your consoles. That's why you're supposed to pack the woman's stuff. When the woman is saying pack her stuff, she's being nice. Because if I pack it, I'm taking some other stuff with me.
Oh, my God.
Things you will miss.
Yes, yes, yes. All right, what do we got? Nightline promises inside look at notorious possibilities. I'm pulling this from GamePolitics.com. They pulled it from VentureBeat. ABC's popular late-night news program Nightline will offer viewers an exclusive inside look at the working conditions at one of Foxconn's notorious assembly plants on Tuesday evening.
Yep.
The program promises an unprecedented look inside Apple's Foxconn plants in China, which have been criticized as being sweatshops and labor camps with poor working conditions that treat their employees horribly. I'm wondering how much we're actually going to see, how much this has been cleaned up for TV, you know? Yeah.
And Brad said, we talked about that yesterday, it's going to be interesting to watch tonight. I'm going to try to make sure to remember to watch it, but
it's going
to
be 11:35 p.m. Eastern Standard and Pacific Time, so find out more about it. That is Nightline. I can't watch it because I don't have TV.
Ginger.
What?
We're going to need you to get a TV, at least for prosperity's sake. I didn't see what happened when they tried to do the emergency broadcast system test. When the zombies come, you're not even going to know. What if I can't get to you?
That's fine. I've got a shotgun. Just gotta
but
make
you
sure
won't know that they're coming to get your shotgun. See, that's what I'm saying. You got to get TV, at least for prosperity's sake.
Yep.
Just keep one around. A little small one. It could be black and white. Just something. So we make. She's like, no, you got to. When the zombies come later this year, and it's this year according to the doomsday sayers, you got to at least know they're coming. Of course, it may not work if you have digital TV because, as we saw, the emergency broadcast system doesn't work, right? So at least when I tell you to turn on your TV, you might see where the zombies are, and then I'll be able to tweet you and text you and be like, they be coming, Ginger. They around you. Get in your truck, Ginger, and roll out. Of course, you don't.
Yeah.
Of course, we all know as getting away from zombies, you don't get in your truck and roll out because you'll hit them and then your truck wrecks. All that business goes on.
Yeah, no, I think actually I'm taking the Prius. better gas mileage. I can get further.
If the zombies come first, I'm going to make sure that my particular neighborhood is mostly clear before I try to leave because, like I said, I don't want to run into anything and damage my car.
This is true. This is very true. I live out in the boonies, so I'll just keep driving even further into the boonies.
I have already determined that I'm going to bar up my windows and back the truck into the garage. I mean, notice I said back it in. So when we come out, I've gathered all the food and put it inside the truck.
Mm-hmm.
You know they have a show. You don't. They have a TV show that's what they're doing. It's called Doomsday People or whatever. But they're actually preparing for stuff like zombie attacks. And I gotta watch the show because that's just the whole kind of crazy that I gotta see it. I gotta see it. I'm gonna find out when it's on, and I love it that they're crazy, especially as long as they're not violent. You know we always have the people that are violent when they think the world's gonna end and they're crazy. These people just think it's quite hilarious when I watch the commercials. Anyway. What is going on with David today? He's really testosterone filled. It's kind of hot, but I'm still going to cut you. Okay, so anyway. Is it my turn?
I believe it is your turn, yes.
It is be my turn. I got nothing. Mm-hmm. No, I'm kidding. I got something. Okay, gosh, we have so much news today. We're not going to get through all of it, unfortunately, even with a full hour. And please don't be angry. Wait a minute. Why? All right, I have to do this because this is my girl over at HeroClix. Good morning, Trisha.
Yay.
Also one that Blaster likes. Man. Oh, man, I have to separate. I have to tell him, please do not scare the Trisha. She's a gorgeous woman. He's like, man, of course she's beautiful. I know she's beautiful. We all know. Picture of Vanessa Williams about 30 years ago when she was still in the Miss America pageant before she got kicked out. But yeah, that's Trisha. Trisha's gorgeous. Okay, so
very, very nice. How you doing, Trisha?
And she's sweet. She's very sweet. Anyway,
that's in your lap, Trisha?
No, what I thought. She's sweet. Leave Tisha alone.
Okay.
But she works over at HeroClix, so they sent us some good stuff over. They have a Figure of the Week program in which they feature two figures from an upcoming set that will be made available weekly for a limited promotional price. The new set from Marvel is showcasing upcoming Galactic Guardians. Yeah, I'm sorry, the Galactic Guardians collection. This will run through Thursday, I'm sorry, starts Thursday, February 23rd through March 21st, and they say not only will the figures be made available in advance of the full collection and at a promotional price, but they also offer a preview for collectors of the physical game as the physical Galactic Guardians figure sets will hit store shelves March 21st. You can find details for the first 2 weeks on the HeroClix fan site, and it's HeroClix World. I'm going to need to find a better link than what they just gave me. Okay. So, it'll also be in the Hero, the HCO store. Again, you can pop. Wow, I need a better link.
Why do they do that?
I think that's what they gave her. And she's over at Icarus Studios, which, as you all know, we love Icarus Studios because they made Fallen Earth, and it's mostly women. Whoop! Okay.
Yes. God, that's a beautiful game.
I got to get a chance to get back in there. I got some milk that's gone bad, but I can make it. And my motorcycle, after I made Ginger get it for me and everything. Remember I was griping at you, get me my motorcycle.
And I did too.
She did, and I've only ridden it like 5 times.
And I love the motorcycle.
But I ran out of gas somewhere, and there were words on me.
Man, that is expensive to get those things hauled back too, man.
Yes, it was. But I had to leave it. I took off running. I looked around and it was like, oh no, zombies.
I gotta go. Especially if it's the ones that explode and burn you. Oh,
yes.
Man.
No one was spitting at me, so I took off running. I was running for like 3 minutes, 3 to 5 minutes real time before I got to a town. And I had a trail of zombies behind me. You know what? Okay, this is the one thing that we were complaining about. I wish they need to put in is you need to be able to pick up people, you know, because I had people passing by me in cars like, I pick you up, but I can't.
There are multiplayer vehicles. You just have to.
I want my motorcycle. I want to throw me somebody on the back and be like, let's do this.
That is true. That's true. It's like, why can't I, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You'd think you could, but no.
I need that.
Yes. All right. It is my turn. Let me just hit save right here. Sorry, people. Awaken the Lost Shapes of Legend for iOS. DreamFab announces magical mobile puzzle game. DreamFab and Rockabyte today unveiled the first images and details of their upcoming iOS game, The Lost Shapes. Get ready to master a mystical board game that will have you dropping tiles like they're hot. Oh, my God, are you really? To form shapes, harness celestial powers, and stack score multipliers on March 8th, 2012. Prepare for a brain tease with the art of magic chess, a game which revives the power of ancient shapes, sun, stars, and moon, and is all the rage among magical folk. Follow your teacher, Willow, a wizard with a mysterious past, as he trains to rebuild such shapes within a limited amount of time with decorated tiles that can be lined up to form shapes and patterns in shape mode and survival mode. Shape mode consists of 30 levels of building simple shapes and then advancing to patterns specified on the board. Survival mode tasks players with remaking as many of those shapes and patterns as possible to level up endlessly. All shape building must be done as quickly as possible to keep the score multiplier high and the tile queue open. If the tile queue gets full, it's game over. All right, so this sounds like some kind of Dr. Mario mixed with Mojang. Kind of interesting. Anyways, all right, so if you head over to GameMatrix.com right now, I have this up for you. Yes, I do.
And now I'm going to share another one with you. I don't have any stats yet, but I've been kind of doing a little bit of a search. Google is doing some really good marketing, and they went there, believe it or not, with the babies. Google Plus, and Ginger unfortunately has not seen this ad, but if you just happen to have your TV on and were watching this weekend, Google ran one of the ads when I started asking people in the room who are not techie, who did not, you know, they were not on Google Plus, they were now looking at getting a Google Plus or signing up for it after this commercial. The commercial features a guy who says he lost his cell phone and he had pictures of his baby. And, he doesn't say anything. All of this, I think, is done, you know, it's kind of implied, you know, the whole thing with the music. And then they say they're not lost. And then they show Google Plus, and it's all the pictures of the baby. And it says they're not lost. Your photo is uploaded instantly and safely on Google Plus. And it, oh man, you know how us girls are.
Yeah.
I was in a room with a bunch of women. They were like, "Oh my God, oh, I could imagine if I lost my phone. Does it do that? Then everybody looks at me, does it do that? I was like, I don't know. I haven't really played with Google Plus. I guess I got to get up to speed. I don't know, but that was a nice commercial. I'll be putting that on the air. So good job to you guys at Google. I think you're going to have a mass exodus of women at least coming. That commercial was beautifully done. And the fact that it was done with a male, yeah, there was a guy speaking. There was a male voiceover. Women like that. We do find daddy sexy, whether you guys believe it or not. So very, very nicely done. I actually was like, man, if I didn't have a Google Plus account, I'd be signing up after I saw that beautiful commercial. So anyway, I think that's how they're going to pull people away from Facebook.
Yes, and they need to. Facebook, y'all, is just about
the face in the book. Okay, now I actually have a story for you. I'm going to throw that in.
Okay.
Sorry.
What do you got? Is it a good story?
I don't know. It's more about FIFA. I don't get it. Maybe it's because I'm not from the UK. That has to be it. Although we do love us some UK people. You guys, call in, talk anytime you feel like it. But this is another EA story. The FIFA is saying that they've delivered the first true HD console experience on a handheld gaming device with the launch of EA Sports FIFA Soccer on the Vita. Yes, which is available now in retail stores throughout North America and Europe. The first game ever developed for the PlayStation Vita by EA Sports features the award-winning FIFA Soccer console quality. Soccer console quality, gameplay, graphics, game modes, and authenticity. FIFA Soccer on the Vita represents a quantum leap forward for handheld gaming, delivering the HD console quality experience right in the palm of your hands. This is from Vice President and Executive Producer Kaz Makita. The level of quality, he says, that is now available is a very exciting landmark for the FIFA Soccer franchise and in gaming. In addition, FIFA Soccer features innovations that utilize front and back multi-touch screens, creating a more responsive, intelligent, and unique gameplay experience. Shooting delivers pinpoint accuracy and removes the element of hit and hope from shooting. Touchscreen passing opens up the field of play for more creative precision passing, and touchscreen kick-free control enables players to swipe a finger to aim and curl the shot around a wall. The game also features over 30 official licensed leagues and 500 officially licensed clubs in 11 versus 11 matches in authentic stadiums from around the world. FIFA on Vita is rated E for everyone by the ESRB. I don't know.
I don't know either. And you people keep playing this, so it must be good. It must be,
you know,
they've got to be doing something right to have all of you wanting to play.
Well, remember, our American football is a smaller market. We think we're worldwide, but we're really not. Nobody else in the whole entire world is playing our football, but everybody's playing the other football. So we're in the minority here. That and I do agree with them. We've seen the screen beautiful. That's good work. We just don't like the fragility of it.
I don't like the form of it. If you could have made it to where I could drop it, because I will drop it. And I will drop it several times, and I want to make sure that it's not going to break.
Yeah, I heard that in Best Buy quite a bit yesterday. I was over in Best Buy checking out the new laptops and whatnot and new things in Vita, and I heard that a lot of my fellow gamers in there were like, are you getting a Vita? I was like, probably not. It's too fragile. It's like, yeah, that's what I'm looking at. You know, I like to be able to carry it with me, and, you know, you have some college students, and you got some kids, and they're like, that's a lot of money to drop it and have it break. It's just...
Yes. I mean, on one hand, it's got the cutouts on either corner. So I was like, you know, you could put a lanyard or something on it, I guess. But I don't want to have to do that. And still, even with the lanyard, I would break it. Y'all have no idea. I am so clumsy. If there's a way to break it, I will find it.
That would be all of us. And not on purpose. That's why I need a durable console. I kid you not.
At least put some kind of rubber bumper around the edges. You know, have it come out just a little bit on either side, just enough so that if I drop it front, back, sides, it's cushioned. The glass plating is not actually going to touch the floor.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't have been hard.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking that's going to be an accessory that comes out really quickly. What do you want to bet?
Well, I don't think that they were the ones that made the accessory for the PSP. I think other people came along and did so. And I was about to name some names, but it came and went out of my brain just that quickly.
Yeah.
All
right. Well, Corey, I've got some splatters.
Ooh, sounds serious. Did they make
it? All right. Spiky Snail Games, a creative indie game development studio focused on high-quality games. They announced that the Splatters will be coming to Xbox Live Arcade this spring. The studio released a new teaser trailer, which is up on GameNature.com, unveiling more unique gameplay footage in this one-of-a-kind game. Additional details surrounding the launch of the innovative physics-based action puzzler will also be announced in the coming months. Are y'all going to give us anything about this? All right, so about the game. The Splatters is a one-of-a-kind physics-driven puzzler where you control liquid-filled creatures with one purpose in life, to go out with style. The unique physics gameplay allows most endless possibilities to finish a level, and as players gain in skill, their creativity shines in every move they make. All right, so we've got a couple of features. One-of-a-kind physics gameplay is literally something you've never played before. Highly competitive, highly addictive. See, people, it's not that hard to make a brand new game. Deep skill and impressive replay value. A game that never plays out the same. Keeps you on your toes and picking up new tricks all the time. As you gain skills, you'll begin to orchestrate a magnificent show of acrobatic creatures, liquids, stunts, and explosions. There is a creativity award. The more spectacular your show is, the higher the score you get. Pull off stunts with every move you make to rack up massive combos and make your crowd ecstatic. And then there's Splatter TV, an in-game feature that lets you share your best game clips with your friends and the rest of the world. Watch full playbacks of the very best players in the world as they perform jaw-dropping moves to complete every level in the game.
This sounds like burnout. And if it ain't got cars in it, I don't want it.
Yes. Well, this is Splatters. You've got some kind of like little creatures you're supposed to kill off.
You know.
And I like killing things, so hey.
I like vehiculars. Just destruction. Just ooh. EA, you had a winner. You let go. All right. So a company called, what's their name? They don't have their name here. It seems like it might be Bart, but I'm not for sure. But they have unveiled some new wearable police cameras. For geeks with small amount of cameras streaming to iPhones, it seems pretty cool. Well, this is what inspired it, or rather. For cops, this may be the best way to record incidents and avoid lawsuits and stay one step ahead of disastrous PR and public outrage.
This would be a great way for you to upskirt people.
This is a new camera that they released just today. The name of the company is Taser, actually. They're maker of the eponymous electric shotguns, and they've announced their latest on-officer camera system. It's mounted on the side of some Oakley sunglasses, and they have a companion Android and iOS mobile app as well. The first people to get the new technology are none other than the 150 patrol officers on the troubled Bay Area Rapid Transit Force, known as BART. On-dashboard car cameras were considered advanced when they first came out, but the technology has evolved and gotten smaller over the years. And while law enforcement isn't known for being ahead of the technological curve, God knows, the VR People's Adventure Beat, they wanted to note that the San Francisco Police Department still takes statements on carbon paper. Carbon paper.
Wow.
Some of you don't know what carbon paper is. It's when you write two papers and it copies what you're writing on the second paper, so you don't have to write twice.
That stuff is horrible.
It's horrible and it's so outdated. That's like 1989 something. Taser thinks that the time for on-officer cameras and digital video has arrived. The new wearable camera system called the Axon Flex is Taser's second try at wearable cameras and will work with the company's companion cloud storage system for managing the resulting videos at evidence.com. People at Taser are fast learners. After rolling out their first foray into wearable camera markets just last year, an earlier Taser camera didn't take off, the 19-year-old company quickly realized drastic changes were needed to how it was designing new gear. He says everyone we talk to gets it that we want the camera on the officer. He says people can see it coming, and we think we're at the inflection point right now. The first iteration called the Taser Axon was bulky, uncomfortable, and a bit dorky looking, and made almost entirely by Taser. To a generation of iPhone users, the large handheld viewer immediately jumped out as unnecessary and dated. It was too clunky too early. The company went back to the drawing board and decided to focus on only the things it did best and to outsource the rest to partners that were already in their fields. He said, first, there was a cool factor. Our headgear was slightly more comfortable than braces. He said officers were unhappy with the way Taser's custom head mount looked and felt, so Taser surveyed various members of the law enforcement to find out what brands they really wanted. 90% of officers said they liked the sunglasses maker Oakley. Okay. Because we're about to go, I'm going to cut this. I love the idea. I think that they should probably, our officers should start wearing, you know, the helmets they wear when they're protesting?
Yeah.
They should probably
yeah.
wear those all the time because you're constantly in danger. And it should be fixed into that, whatever that helmet is.
Yes, exactly.
Or mm-hmm. to something on their person. I don't like the fact that it's on sunglasses because, you know, sunglasses fall off. Yeah, I'm not particularly liking that idea. But I think it's a
yeah.
wonderful idea. Should have
yes.
implemented.
I think y'all are close to something. I think y'all are on the right path there. I think you're just a little off.
There's also complaints over on VentureBeat about why do they need a view screen. I don't think they do need a view screen. All right. We're about to get out of here if we're not already on the other side, because we might be, in which case we will see you guys later tonight.
Yay!
We got to do some Pixinista. And holla!
Dance.
Back door cracked, we don't need a key. We did it for free, no VIP sleeve. Spring set, cool face, follow my lead. Now you're one of us, you're coming with me.
Later, boys and girls. Mm-hmm.